What we need to shift is that schools and families have to greet each other right in the middle. Families need to learn the culture of the school. Schools need to learn the cultures of the families.
Aloha, and welcome to Imua Literacy, a podcast dedicated to moving Hawaii forward with local literacy solutions. I'm Erin D'Amelio.
And I'm Dr. Esmeralda Carini. And in each episode, we will be addressing perceived obstacles in literacy by thinking through solutions together with our colleagues and friends from all walks of literacy life that are based right here in Hawaii.
Today, we're speaking with Dr. Kathy Ratliff, who is currently a professor in the Department of Educational Psychology at the University of Hawaii. Kathy's research interests include disability, family, school, and community partnerships in education, and the education of immigrant children. In this episode, we'll go into depth on what family and community engagement is and how we can rethink our definition of it. We'll also chat about how families and their children from the islands of Micronesia experience education here and how schools might consider partnering with them to ensure their students' success. Hey, everybody, just a quick audio note. There was some construction going on when we interviewed Kathy, so you might hear some banging noises here and there. Okay, let's start the episode.
We are so excited to be speaking with you today, Kathy, and welcome to Imua Literacy.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So one of the things that we know of you and your research is that you have written a lot about family engagement, sometimes more generally, sometimes specifically focused on families here in Hawaii. So what do we know are the effects of family engagement on a student's learning and development?
Research has shown that family engagement has a huge effect on children's academic achievement, on children's social emotional learning, on children's behavior in the classroom, and really has a very broad impact on students in school. By family engagement, we mean the inclusion of families in the education of children. It doesn't mean parents being invited in to file things for the teacher. It really means parents being engaged in the education of their children. That can happen in the school with parents participating in field trips, in parents being engaged in the classroom, in learning in the classroom, and supporting the teacher in the classroom. It can also happen at home with parents having appropriate goals for their children, with parents understanding the process of education so that they can make appropriate choices.
What would be your thoughts around literacy? How does family engagement help to support and extend students' literacy and language practices?
How can it not?
Very good point.
But here's some ways that come to mind. Let's encourage literacy in students' home languages.
Yes.
All the research shows that when students are able to not only maintain but develop literacy and oral language in their home languages, they better develop literacy and oral language in English.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Kathy, it's interesting because the term family engagement, I want to say maybe about, well, I'm sure I'm wrong on this, but it, maybe 10, 15 years ago, we were using that term. What was the term before family engagement?
It's changed from parent involvement to family involvement to
parent involvement.
Yeah, parent involvement and then family engagement. And another one is really family partnerships. Family school partnerships.
Okay. Because I do think, like when I talk to my friends who are parents, right, I still think that they see family engagement as the old way of thinking, mm-hmm. right? Like, well, I go to the assemblies or I was room mom or, you know,
I made cupcakes.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, I still feel like that term, I understand it. The term of family engagement is a lot more deeper, more rich. We really want the parents being decision makers in the child's academic life and social and emotional, like being partners with the school, right? Being more partners. But I still think it's seen as this sort of help me out here.
I totally agree with you. That's family. That's parent involvement. That's
parent involvement.
The school issues an invitation and manages how the parent is involved.
Yes.
Whereas with family engagement, the school still has to provide the opportunities for families to be engaged, but the families direct how that engagement might happen.
But what I'm thinking about, Kathy, is, okay, you've done a lot of research around the Micronesian population. They make up a big chunk of our EL population. You know, what suggestions do you have around that with family engagement or schools who want to connect with those families?
That's important to keep in mind. Micronesia is an umbrella term, but within that, there are so many different cultures and languages and groups of people represented. Each have their own distinctive cultures and languages. Before we jump into suggestions, maybe let's describe the situation of how population groups, maybe specifically Micronesian populations, because of your work, Kathy, how they might typically experience family engagement in Hawaii. And then we can think about maybe some suggestions.
Sure. As you probably know, the Micronesian population started coming to Hawaii in the 70s and 80s when people in those islands were eligible for Pell Grants and came here and other places for their higher education. And the reason that they're eligible is that the United States has been engaged with these nations, particularly the three nations, the Federated States of Micronesia, the Republic of the Marshall Islands, and the Republic of Palau, as affiliated nations with the U.S. The United States has compacts of free association with these nations that allow their citizens to travel here freely. They don't have to get visas, immigration papers, all of that. There's other history there that I won't go into in depth, but people who grow up in those Pacific Island nations, they grow up mostly being what we might consider impoverished, although they're the same as everybody else there. So what is poverty except in relationship to somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
When they come here, though, they're definitely impoverished compared to other citizens here in the U.S., and they have different skills. Their skills are really related to sustaining their lives on the land, like fishing and farming and sailing and navigating. Their skills are not in business and economics and accounting and medicine, but they certainly have the potential to learn those things. Families often move here so that their kids can get a good education and be better placed to do well in the world. But anyway, when families come here, they're learning English. They have lower education than others who are here. They may not have graduated from high school. They may not even have graduated from elementary school. And so they struggle when they come here. They're working low-wage jobs, doing menial labor, sometimes have to put many of those jobs together to make it work.
It sounds like there's this a mismatch between the valuable skills that they have in that are very make them successful on their respective islands or atolls compared to what we may mark as successful skills here in Hawaii and other places that they migrate to.
That is true. And I think that people from Micronesia would really like to be successful in the skills we think are success, related to success, but they don't know how yet. And that's why they come here to get an education. I think that teachers often think that they don't care about their kids' education because families trust the schools to educate the kids. That's what they do on their home islands. That's what they do when they come here. And families are often very, very engaged in trying to make a living and find a home and make a home for themselves and their family. And so they need to trust the schools to educate their kids. And they don't know how to engage, much less have the resources to engage like families who grew up here would.
Thank you.
And that's the obstacle, right? I've seen the perception is then, well, these families just don't care about education. How do we change that perception? How do we educate listeners about that? How do we help schools understand so that we can provide opportunities for these families?
So let's let teachers give them a break. Instead of judging them negatively, please encourage them and give them a break. Know that they have the best interest of their children in mind. Also know that all the research shows that every single parent cares about their kids and their kids' education. They might just show it differently. So let's give them a break and help them achieve their goals.
And I think what I've seen my schools do is sort of like honoring those funds of knowledge that kids and the families bring to the school and kind of even highlighting that in the classroom. And that's another way for families to be engaged in the school.
I also think that it's very important that it's not only like outward action, but also internal reflection. What are my assumptions around not only family engagement more generally, but then also what are my assumptions that I'm bringing to the classroom about different cultural groups that my students may represent?
I love learning about Micronesia and about the different cultures. So I'm very excited when I meet people from those islands and atolls. And I think if we all had that kind of approach, we wouldn't be thinking, oh, it's going to be so hard. I've got to deal with this extra culture, this culture I don't know much about, and it's going to take time. You know, instead, if we think, oh, wow, how can I incorporate this wonderful culture into my classroom so that these children and families feel welcome?
Right. Well,
how do you say hello in your culture? Can you show me where your island is on the map? The whole switch of attitude can make a huge difference.
Reframing your thinking.
Yes.
I like that.
But it's also building the understanding, again, back to what is family engagement? Because we still have that mental template of the model that we saw growing up.
Yeah, families don't have to do those traditional things in the schools in order to be engaged. They can be engaged by having appropriate information to advise their kids, by providing appropriate places for homework, by scheduling the afternoons and evenings so kids have a time and support to get their work done, by taking their kids to the library, by reading to their kids, or by advising their kids about what to read.
I feel like I love that you're saying that, because I feel like that is really would be a big aha for families and, you know, parents to hear. I know lots of parents or families do that, but they feel like they're failing because they're not able to show up sort of that traditional way of coffee hour with the principal or, you know, back to school night or something like that.
One of the things that schools have as, I guess, an advantage is that they're the ones who are providing different structures or pushing out what that definition is. If schools are promoting one way, that disadvantages so many other families from engaging with their students' learning.
For principals or teachers to actually communicate with families about what is family engagement by perhaps sending a survey out saying, how do you support your children in school? Do you read to them, talk to them about what's required in high school, encourage them to go to college, check their homework, provide appropriate learning materials at home, like pencils and pens and papers and computers, you know, all the different things that parents can do. And then the teacher can gather this information and use the information. And perhaps when they send that wonderful postcard home that I recommend all teachers do, I recommend all teachers have a stack of postcards for one.
Like
for
an introduction?
One for every child in their class that says, that is addressed at the beginning of the semester. And then whenever the child does something great in class, like help another child or get their homework in on time or do a really great assignment, the teacher just fills out, Georgie did this great thing in class. It was this. And if you could provide some really good feedback to him about this at home, it would really make him feel good about it. And just pop it in the mail. And then you've got this stack, so you know at the end of the semester that every parent has been communicating.
I love that, because everybody likes to hear, you know, get a positive note. And something about the postcard, you know, you can put it on the fridge and it's a physical thing that, and then you know you sent it to each student.
it's also expanding what we might consider good behavior or performance in the classroom, which is what it sounds like you're saying, Kathy.
Yes, it is, definitely. Because, you know, getting an A on a test is only one way of participating in the classroom and of showing that you understand the material. Helping another child solve a math problem, wow, that really shows that you know that material. Kids feel better when their parents know what's happening with them all day long. They feel more included at home and at school. Kids from Micronesia feel better when their parents feel welcome in the schools and when they and their culture feel welcome. A lot of kids from Micronesia and other immigrant groups are being bullied because they're different. So the school can cut that off at the knees by being welcoming and accepting of everyone.
Kathy, I wonder if you have a particular story about schools and families coming together in the middle and really defining engagement together.
There's a small program called Safe Haven in Waipahu, and they serve Marshallese and Chukis families. They do an after-school tutoring program for the kids in like third through sixth or seventh grade. And the kids come there after school. But Safe Haven is really a community hub for the families. They have steering committees, a Chukis steering committee and a Marshallese steering committee. And what these steering committees do is they identify what are issues that we want to work on in our community. And one of the things they chose was the relationships with law enforcement. They invited police officers into the steering committee to ask them questions, and they asked them questions. So this was a reciprocal exchange of information, and it was very positive, and everybody learned from each other. And then they chose another issue to learn about. And once they learned about these issues, it disseminated back into their communities.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that a great idea? And it's people are meeting each other.
I've heard a lot of the work that Waipahu does for its students. I think it's just like they do a lot of fantastic things, and they're just really a good exemplar of really engaging with their communities. As someone who represents the university, you may have examples of what the University of Hawaii is trying to do in family engagement efforts.
The Hawaii Family Engagement Center, or we call it HFEC, is a federally funded center through grant funding. They have been engaged with different islands in Hawaii, working with several schools on each island to teach teachers about family engagement and to run workshops and PDs in the different schools. And then another resource for pre-service and in-service teachers is an online resource that myself and several colleagues and some graduate assistants have put together called the Affect Modules. But Affect Modules, there's five modules. The fourth one looks at groups in Hawaii that teachers might want to learn more about, like military families, Native Hawaiian families, Micronesian families, Filipino families, LGBTQIA+ families, et cetera. And it gives information about families themselves and some clues about how best teachers can interact with those families.
What a great resource. If you had like a megaphone to all the schools in Hawaii about family engagement, What would be your one piece of advice, or, you know, for people looking to get it started, get it going?
It would be make families welcome in the schools.
Make families feel welcomed in the schools.
Yeah. And that means everything from put welcoming information in their own language, provide opportunities for them to help and participate in the education of their kids, create opportunities for them to get to know other families, so a social life in the school. And when we work with families, we work with what's there. And so we just have to go with no expectations and build on what we find. That's how we need to interact with families.
Kathy, this has been incredibly informative, and we're very grateful for your time and information today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Have a great rest of your day.
If we've learned anything from this conversation today with Kathy, it's that we need to pause and rethink what we know about, or rather assume, what family and community engagement is. As Kathy has shared, it is definitely more of a partnership where everyone comes in with the best intentions and an eagerness to learn from one another. For schools working with Micronesian families and their students in particular, it is especially important to broaden that definition of family and community engagement and celebrate the many ways that families can and do support their children's education. At the same time, sharing school expectations for engagement can help families fill that knowledge gap to ensure that their student is successful. As always, mahalo for listening to Imua Literacy.